You know, there are some people that I just don't trust. Is anybody here? Kind of fit, you kind of go on that there's some people you just don't trust. When those people are part of the team that you're on, things do not go well, do they? Well, I was on one of these teams. I was on a team that I was put together with these guys, and there were six leaders. If you've ever been on a team of leaders and been together with them, you know that there's six different directions that they want to go with this team. And I was put on this team, and we were a dysfunctional group of individuals. Yeah, that's where we were, just over here, because we lacked one key ingredient, and that ingredient was trust. Now, we went from being this dysfunctional group of individuals to being one of the best teams that I've ever been on, as well as lifelong friends. How? How did we go from there to over here? Well, if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 4, and we're going to find out in there, because it's really on there in John chapter 4. So turn there, John chapter 4. John chapter 4, it's a familiar passage, and for some of you, because sometimes you get so familiar with the passages that are there, you can either follow along, I'm going to read under the from the New Living Translation, or if you want to, just listen. And sometimes that's a great way of doing, just hearing God's word. So if you want to, you can just listen and try and put yourself in that scenario, in that story that's there. So John chapter 4, and I'm going to begin at verse 4. He, meaning Jesus, had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." Now, he was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right." Isn't that great? Oh, is it Jesus said that's something we already know? You're right. You don't have a husband. In fact, you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with. You certainly spoke the truth. "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet." Now I'm going to skip down to verse 25. As we go through some other things there, but in verse 25, it says, "The woman said, 'I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us.' Then Jesus told her, 'I am the Messiah.' Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, 'What do you want with her?' or 'Why are you talking to her?' The woman left her water jar beside the well, ran back to the village, telling everyone, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?' So the people came streaming from the village to see him." Now, out of this passage, what I want to do and take this part here is I want to just take Jesus as a model and an example to us. Barry can dissect this passage and take it apart and put it back together again and get 12 messages out of this one. But I'm just going to take the example out of here, and I'll allow him to do that exegesis as he goes through. So, because in here, what we find is Jesus modeled the three building blocks of trust, is what he had. Now, I think pretty well every one of us wants to have great relationships. Is that a fair question? Well, great relationships are built on trust, and trust can be built by you. Great relationships are built on trust, and trust can be built by you if you follow Jesus' example and the three building blocks that are there. So the first building block, and I'll put it up here. Hopefully you can see on the other side here. The first building block is this one, vulnerable. Ask for help. Vulnerable and ask for help. Jesus, when he was at this well, he started to talk to a woman he shouldn't have been talking to. She was a Samaritan. He was a Jew. Shouldn't have been talking. But he did, and he asked for help. So I'm going to ask you, are there people around you, especially people you want to build trust with, that, put it clearly this way, we think they're below us? Maybe at work they're not quite on our level. There are other people. That's who Jesus asked for help. He asked, he wanted to get help from her and model the first one on somebody that he probably shouldn't have been talking to. Benjamin Franklin, when he was in the legislature, he had one person that hated him and clearly made it that way, was very vocal about it. They had never actually talked, these two people. But he, anytime he had an opportunity, spoke against Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin set out to change this. And here's what he did. He knew that this man was a collector of rare books. Benjamin Franklin was also a collector of rare books, and we know he founded the libraries. So he was known for that. So what he did was he asked the man if he could borrow a certain book, certain curious volume that was a very rare book. And he asked to borrow it. The man was very flattered that Benjamin Franklin wanted to borrow the book. So he sent it over to Benjamin Franklin and just delivered it by somebody else. Now, Benjamin Franklin took that book, and he kept it for a week. As far as we know, he did nothing with the book. After a week was done, he took the book, put a note with it saying, thank you, and he sent it back to him. Job done. The next time the legislature met, for the very first time ever, this man introduced himself to Benjamin Franklin. He started talking to him. The hatred was gone, and Benjamin Franklin said, from that moment on, we became lifelong friends. He asked for help. Now, on the team, remember this team that I said I was on here, we were part of this dysfunctional, just individuals that were over here. And what occurred was they selected a leader from the team, and they selected Donna to be the leader, which I thought I should have been the leader. You know, that should have been me. But they selected Donna, and Donna was the least likely to be the leader of this team. She was the quietest one. But here's what happened when she was here. Is she came around to each of us, and this was what started it. And she said, I need your help on the team, and I need what you bring. And then she went to the next person, and she said, I need what you have. You're a part of this team, and I need you. And she started to create a safe place for us of vulnerability. When she did that, when she asked for help, when she asked those questions, she brought us out, that we could now move from this point here, and we move just a little bit in that relationship. It's because when you admit a need, you're extending that trust, demonstrating that you're trusting somebody else when you're admitting that need and extending it. So on your sheet, you can see it there, it says, who, what? Who is somebody that comes to your mind that you think, I want to build trust with? I should ask that person for help. Doesn't have to be big. Jesus asked for a drink of water. But who, and then maybe you can put down there too, what? What would it be this week that you could do? So that's the first building block of trust. The second building block of trust is this one, interested. ask questions. Right at the onset there, as it goes through, I mean, if you look at verse 29 and verse 39, both places in there, the woman says that he told me everything I ever did. Now, I'm not sure that many of us want that to happen, somebody coming up and telling everything we ever did, but she was so excited about this, that he was so interested in her. Now, Jesus had an advantage, didn't he? He knew everything about her. I don't think most of us are able to do that, are we, most of the time? Some of the times God might reveal, but we have to ask questions, is what we do. And showing interest that way is asking questions. And we love people, don't we? We're drawn to people that are interested in us, aren't we? Not like the guy that he drones on and on about himself, just keeps going, and finally he stops and says, you know, enough about me talking about me. Now I want to hear from you. What do you like about me? We all know those kind of people, don't we? Because if we look in the mirror, it's usually that person. Here's what we need to do then, is really getting beyond that and doing it. And this was, you know, when we got to this point on our team that we're here now, this part, there was one guy on the team, Mike, that I did not like. I didn't like him. Mike was a very detailed person, and those of you that know me know I'm not. Okay, so he had details and everything outlined and stuff, and I'm not a detailed person. Mike used big words, and I still remember that, and it stuck in me because he used the word systemic. I didn't even know what that meant. I had to go to the dictionary to find out what systemic meant. So I didn't really like him. I found out later that Mike didn't like me. I said, me? What's not to like? I said, no. I said, why didn't you like me? He said, well, Neil, you arrived on our team a day late. So I did. I arrived a day late onto the team. And he said, you just took over. I said, yeah, well, you guys weren't doing anything, so I thought you needed help on there. So we didn't like each other. And here's what Donna had said to us. She said, I want you to take time and spend time to get to know each other on the team outside of what we're doing. So we did that. And I got to know Mike. I got to know his backstory. I got to know the details of where he'd come from. And during that time, something changed. What changed? Me. I changed. When I found that, I was the one that changed. I was the one that now is drawn more to Mike. And that then, from this point here, then our team moved a little bit further in that trust, as we got to know each other and spend time with each other. But you know, there's other people have gruff appearances. And sometimes you think they're hurling rocks at you. So you don't even want to get to know them, do you? Well, let me tell you a story. Maybe this will stick in your mind the next time that happens, when somebody gets, you know, just in your face in that way. There's a little boy. He was standing beside the road. And the car was driving up, and he saw this little kid just standing by the road. And the little kid, he had a rock in his hand. And he was just standing like this. The driver of the car, as he's approaching this, is thinking, no, he wouldn't do that. He got up just beside where this little kid was, and the kid threw the rock. Right. Just smacked the side of the car. Well, this guy was furious. He pulled off the side of the road. He jumped out of his car. He ran back. The kid hadn't moved, which he was shocked. He grabbed the kid and he shook him. He said, what are you doing throwing the rock against the car? How can you do that? The little kid, he looked up at him and he said, mister, he said, I didn't know any other way to get a car to stop. I've tried a long time. It's my brother. My little brother is just out in the woods. He broke his leg, and I can't carry him out. Would you help? Would your opinion of the child change when you knew that? So the next time somebody's hurling rocks at you, maybe find out what's behind it. Interested. What did you want to be when you were growing up, and why? I wanted to be a hockey player when I was growing up because I loved playing hockey. And I spent hours and hours and hours downstairs. Obviously, I'm not in the NHL, and didn't play. But that was my dream. So what was it that you wanted to be when you're growing up? Because here's what we're going to do. I want you to turn to somebody that's just either beside you, somebody that maybe is not your spouse or not the closest friend, and tell them what you wanted to be when you were growing up and why. And you're just going to have about a minute to do that, and then we're going to switch, and the other person is going to share. Okay, so I'll tell you when to switch. So just find somebody right beside you, close by there, and tell them what you wanted to be. You might have to do groups of three, some of you that are there. Okay, go ahead. Okay, I got so involved in Barry and I talking, I forgot to tell you to switch, but you probably did on there. Now, here's a question I have for you. Was the other person, were they interested in what you were saying? Yeah, well, of course you're going to say that. They're still sitting beside you. But how did you tell her they were interested? Eye contact, okay. That's questions. Okay. There's a number of ways we can easily tell where they're interested. Here's what somebody said to me, Neil. Said, spend more time being interested than trying to be interesting. Which I thought that was such a challenge. And so I've made it a goal in this last while to try and do that. It's not easy. You know, we're used to just adding in all our stuff, and so asking questions. And then you run into this thing, but I don't want to know about them. So you got to push yourself a little bit to find out. And then it's amazing. Here's what I have found. Everyone has a story, and several of them. And when you start hearing those stories, you're one of the guys it was family life in the U.S. He was just a stick in the mud. He was just, he just drove me nuts with his rules that he had. And so I said to Kirk, man, you and I are just opposites. You are just such a stick in the mud. I said, what did you do? Like your job and everything, were you in the Army? And he said, yes. I said, oh. I said, what'd you do in the Army? He said, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. Which was actually true. He was a spy. You're a spy. I thought, and then he told me all these, James Bond spy, okay? That's what it was, all the stuff and everything. I never would have known that because of the outside and the exterior. So that's what we need to do in doing it. And then the same thing, who this week? And what is it? Now, the third one that Jesus modeled was reliable. Now, in Jesus' case, he made some big promises. He promised eternal life. I don't think we can do that, except we can do it through him. But he promised some huge things, and he delivered. When you read the end of that passage, the village came out to him, and then they went back, and a lot of people became Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, because he kept his promise that he was going to give them eternal life. And that's what we take a look through there. And here's another question I'm going to ask you. Ever made an offhanded comment like, we need to get together? I'll text you. I'll give you a call. And then you don't do it. Here's what I learned. Mark, who was the youth pastor up at the Baptist Church years ago when we were living here, he was our next door neighbor in the duplex on Evergreen. And I said to him, I'd say to him different times, I should stop by and just see what you do and what's happening with the youth and just get a feel of what all you're into right now. And he always, do that. I'd forget. You know, I remember the day after those things. Finally, on a Thursday night, I remembered that this was their gym night that they were having. So just went up to the Baptist church, and I opened the door of the gymnasium there. He had about 100 young people at that time in there, so you can imagine the volume, couldn't you, of what it was like and the chaos that was there. So I opened the door here, and across kitty corner, across the gym, from that side, I heard my voice, my name being called. I said, hey, Neil. How did Mark know that I had come in? He was waiting for me. And when that hit really hard. How many times had he waited for me? When I said I was going to show up, and I didn't. Keep commitments is what they call in building trust the big kahuna. And in our group, on our team here, you remember our team now was here, and we had some of the safety of the vulnerability, and then we're interested. And what happened in this point here is that Donna gave us responsibilities every single week on the team. And we had an opportunity every single week to be reliable, to keep our commitments. And because we did that, now did we fulfill them great and perfect? No, I got help from a lot of them at different times, but we worked at them. Because that happened, we moved further over to here until we became this high-functioning team and lifelong friends. And we went through the three areas that are there. Now, can I give you a caution on this last one that's here is watch what you promise. Can you deliver? So when you promise somebody that you're going to be there for a certain time to do certain, can you actually deliver? That's just something, a caution that you need to do. But if you want to build the trust, and you get to this one especially, watch for opportunities this week with somebody. Sometimes you even have to create it. You overhear them talking about something, and you jump in and say, you know, I can pick that up for you. And it builds trust when you keep the commitment, not just promise and then not. Well, there's the other side of this. What happens when trust is broken? You know, because in reality, somebody else holds our trust. Trust is very fragile. And we need to maintain it and keep building it, because to rebuild trust is extremely difficult. And what happens is, times, although somebody else holds our trust, we can cause it to fall. Okay, I just want a couple, just two volunteers from here to put this egg back together. Can I get just a couple people on there? To rebuild trust is almost as difficult as putting this egg back together. Can it be done? Yes, it can. And if you flip over your sheet, I've given you some ideas, some thoughts on there of how it can be done. If you're the one that broke trust, then you're following these same three steps. There's another one that's added. As you're praying through it all, you need to be vulnerable. You need to ask for forgiveness. Secondly, don't pull away from the person. They might pull away from you, but if you can, be there. And thirdly, keep your commitments if you've promised something. And number four, the one that I've added there is one of the most important. Give it time. You cannot say to somebody, including your spouse, you have to trust me. You have to allow them. You've built up a brick wall in between you. You have to allow them to take the bricks down. And then you can reconnect. Now, if it's the other way, this one's probably the more difficult one. If your trust was broken, somebody broke your trust, then the Bible talks about you have to forgive. That's something you have to do. You have to forgive. The Bible says in that verse, it says, make allowance for each other's faults, which is extremely difficult. In their minds, they don't even think of it as a fault. It's in our minds we think of it as a fault. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive others as Jesus has forgiven you, that we need to do. And then you're following through those steps that are there is vulnerable. What you're looking for here when somebody else has broken your trust, you're looking for a change. Are they vulnerable? Have they asked for forgiveness? Have they pulled away from you? Are they keeping their commitments? Is there actually a change? There's a difference, I think, hopefully all of you know, there's a difference between forgiveness and trust. Forgiveness you have to do, trust may never happen again. You may never trust that person again, depending on if there's not a change. They may never trust you again, even though you've done everything to win them back. That's just the reality of it. I mean, for us, we have that. If you left some money on your desk in your office and somebody, one of your coworkers, stole that money, they came to you, they asked for forgiveness, you know, everything's dealt with, do you leave money on your desk the next week? No, you don't. And that's probably wisdom. Now, if there's a change and you're noticing the change, you can be more and more open with them. And it's an interesting verse in the Bible. If you ever want to look it up, and I'm not even going to tell you where it is, so you have to Google it. We don't use concordances anymore. We Google everything. Is Jesus said, I trust no man because I know what's in their heart. Interesting. And it just, you can go off in a whole divergent section on there because he does talk about trust. So I'll leave you to take a look through that and see that passage that's there. But those are the things that we have to follow through in doing it. So I imagine, and can you imagine if you had a group like we had where trust was flowing? It was really strong. Imagine yourself on that kind of team. Don't you look forward to being together with those people? And those are the ones you want to be together with. Not some of the others. When I wanted off this team the first day. In fact, I asked to be off of that team. And they kept me on there. And here's the reality of it. Just recently, I needed to contact I said there were leaders. All of them now are leading in ministry throughout the world in different places. And I needed help from three of them. And I called them. Two of them are in the States. One is in Alberta. And I called them and I said, here's what I need. I need your help. And it was a huge request that I had. And these three came through with flying colors. They provided information for me and help for me that's going to impact a lot of people and probably a lot of people for the kingdom because of what they did. And Mike was the last one I called. And you know what? Here's what happened. When I clicked off my phone with Mike, I thought in my mind, that would have never happened if Donna hadn't helped us to build trust. And that's what I'm hoping for you. And I think today, as we've had the sense and feeling of the God speaking through us and the prophetic and what's happening, here's what I'm going to ask you to do, because being vulnerable means you ask for help. So I'm gonna give us an opportunity to, and just I'll get the team to come back up and play. And what I want you to do is I want you to ask for help as far as asking for somebody to pray for you. So it's vulnerable, isn't it? But it's you asking for help. I want you to also you can do the other side of it, and that's being interested. Go pray for somebody. You spot somebody around you and think, I'd like to just go pray for them. And then the last one is keep commitments. If something develops from that you will keep commitments. So you guys can back up and just as they're doing that, as they're going up play, remember who Jesus built trust with. Was this one of his disciples that he built trust with? No. We often think it's just the people that are sitting around us that we need to build trust with. But Jesus, the result he got was because he built trust with a neighbor. And a lot of us, if I said to you, who are your neighbors? Well, the guy with the brown truck or the... Yeah. I don't know. Jesus did it with a neighbor, asked for help, was interested in them, asked questions, and kept his commitments. And the result was a lot of people entering the kingdom of God. That's what I think we can do. So I'm not sure which song you had. I've got it right in front of you.
No, it's great. So I like it.
You can't hide on there. So, oh, you want your stand too, boy. Thanks. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus' example and just what he's done and what we can learn from him. But I'm praying that this week there's going to be a lot of stories that come out of this, because we want to put this into practice and we want to build trust. It might be with somebody that's really close to us. It could be somebody at work or in our neighborhood. But Father, I pray that there's stories that come out, because we're doing what you did. And I'm asking too, Father, that we can do through you, offer, when that opportunity comes, eternal life. And be able to share that with those around. And you did it in such an amazing way. And it led to such an incredible result, incredible outcome. So that's what I'm praying for here. I'm praying today, too, that we'll be vulnerable and we will ask people to pray for us, that we will be interested and we'll go and pray for other people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.